Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be able to connect one more time as we celebrate who Jesus is. If you're excited about Jesus, if you're thankful for salvation, can you just give him some hand claps of praise? Lift up those hands to him just in worship. And on the chat, can you put some of those emoticons, some claps and some praise hands, just thanking him for another day that he has made. God has been so, so good to us. And it is my belief so many times we can forget that he is ordering our steps. Before we get into our announcements, I do want to recognize one of our families of the church that's in bereavement. One of our special deacons, Deacon Rudd, passed away. And his family is just soliciting your prayers. The funeral service will be this Wednesday, and all the details of that service are at ebcnc.com. That's ebcnc.com, so that you can make sure that you're just lifting up the family. We've had a lot of bereavements that are associated with our church. So please, please pray for the Ebenezer Church family. God has made us living epistles that even in times of bereavement and struggles in our lives, we can show forth God's grace. And I just thank God for his Holy Spirit that truly orders our steps. We've got all types of Bible studies on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays to encourage us in our faith, that we can know that our God is a present help in a time of need. Don't forget about our Thursday Bible studies from 6 to 7, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And you know what? The scriptures have done so much for us. Community has been produced as we're able to touch one another. So I encourage you, if you have time in your schedule, come on out to our Bible studies that we're walking through God's word. Don't forget to pray for our 8:45 services, our 10:45 in-person service, and of course, our 10 o'clock online that's impacting so many venues. I want to thank you, as always, for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we purpose in our hearts and we can give not grudgingly or of necessity, but we can really know our God is good. So we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I'm ready to get into God's word as we get back to that subtopic of dependency versus independence of God. Today, we're going to get into it and we're going to look at being dependent. What does it mean to have a relationship with God that's dependent on his power? So I want you to focus in, think about the goodness of the Lord, and we will see you soon.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are y'all?
How are you?
Today, I'm going to be reading Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture will come from Matthew 19, verse 26. With God, all things are possible. Amen.
Well, there's a lily, my Lord, that's in the valley. And it is bright as a morning star. There is a lily in the valley, and bright as a morning star. There is a lily in the valley, bright as a morning star. Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah. in the rising. It's a bright
as a morning star.
Oh, that joy, joy, joy in that morning. It's a bright
as a morning star.
Joy in the morning. Oh, bright in the morning star.
So good to know he is the lily in the valley, the bright in the morning star. We serve a wonderful, wonderful God. Before we go any further, I just want you to connect with the Lord as we connect together, and we just pray, welcoming his presence to speak into our lives. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, these last 7 days have been a whirlwind, and some of you have had to go through some things, but God is with us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I pray for those that are listening and viewing. If there's someone that's not saved, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Lord, we welcome your presence again. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In the chat, can you just say amen? Well, we're getting back into back to the basics. Remember, these are subtopics that were given to me by some of our young people at Ebenezer and also on the outside of Ebenezer, just some teaching, some trainings that they wanted me to go through. And it's been a delight as the Lord has just been ministering to my heart. We want to get back into that memory scripture. Remember, we've been in James 1:26 and 1:27. We've been reading this aloud so that we can get it in our mind. It can seep down into our hearts, and then we can apply it to to our lives as we're walking out the mandates of the Lord. So if you don't mind, if you could read this aloud with me, James 1:26, if anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Isn't that good? Every time I go through that, I'm like, okay, Lord, this really lets us know how to walk before you as you empower us. Today, we are going to get back into that subtopic of dealing with dependence versus independence in relationship to God. You know, where are we? Are we dependent upon him? Are we independent of him? We have been going back and forth using Old Testament, New Testament scriptures to kind of look at these different positions. Today, we're going to focus on dependency. Yes, dependency. What does it look like to be dependent on God's will, to be dependent when it comes to relationship with him? Let's go to Matthew 14:33. This is a familiar section to many. This is Jesus and Peter and the disciples, specifically Peter walking on the water. You can see this section in Mark 6:45 and also John 6:14, around that 14th verse. And so there are many versions or insight into this particular scripture that we're going to be splicing together today to really focus on that thought of being dependent on God. But let's look at that Matthew 14:33. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Listen to that again. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. I want to speak from a title today, Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. As I use this title today, I wanted to kind of define it. It could be used in different ways, but the definition that we are coming from today is a moment of sudden realization, comprehension, or recognition that often precipitates a major change. So oftentimes it's used in a come to Jesus moment, you know, one of those flashings, those revelatory times that we just know we connect with God. As we look at our dependency on God today, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about, you know, how close am I to the Lord? And wherever you are, wherever I am, it is my prayer that we can grow closer and be really, truly dependent on the Lord. But we've got to never forget as we're going through this that ultimately God's will is going to be done. And I used that earlier, God's will. And because God is in control, whatever struggles we're going through, he is our peace. He's our everything. Remember Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder and his name will be called. I love this, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And there it is, Prince of Peace. Come to Jesus. We need to have that moment of clarity that in whatever we're going through, whatever situation, whatever struggle, God is there. Time frame of this particular portion of scripture is around 32 AD. Now, what precipitates this is that Jesus has done so many miracles, signs, and wonders, but one of the big is just feeding of the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and fish. It was just one of the most awesome miracles that he was involved with. The disciples were there, and at that moment, they had a come to Jesus moment. They started to realize, this is God. This is his amazing grace that's upon us. So from this point on, they're really like, okay, what do you want us to do? They're walking dependent of him. They want to be all in after seeing this miracle. So let's jump into this section because it really flows out in so many aspects. Matthew 14:22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Here's our first point. God is in charge. God is in charge. So again, that thought dependency. In order to be totally dependent on God, you got to know that God is in charge. Any amens out there? You got to get that. It's got to be more than just saying it. It's got to be a heart thing. I remember I used to play the lead guitar in one of the churches that I attended when I was younger. And really, I had a lot of pleasure playing with the band. But one of my favorite songs that I used to play on that guitar was God is Still in Charge of My Life. This impacted me so much with playing this particular song that on the front of my car, way back then, I had one of those Fieras. If you remember the Fiera, it was a gray Fiera. I had big tires on it. It was one of those aerodynamic cars. I loved that car. It had an engine in the back and on the front in black, and it had a gray that was with the actual text of it, God is still in charge. And that stuck with me. My whole life reminded me of that. And that was a come to Jesus moment for me, just realizing that God is in everything. As we think about our trek with the Lord, you know, how he is with us at all times, think about Psalms 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. That 24th verse, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That come to Jesus. I have been young, David says, and now I'm old. Listen to this. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. This is what we're building on. Even as we look at this section, look at Matthew 14:22 again. Let's break this down. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples. I found this challenging because God doesn't waste anything. Anything he does, it's purpose. The disciples are missing out, but this is a time of teaching. Jesus is setting up a teaching moment. He made his disciples get into the boat and look at this, go before him to the other side. There's a lot because I know where we're going. He set this up at the beginning, even though the disciples didn't understand what was going on. And then it says that he told them, I need you to go to the other side, not go one-fourth and drown, not go midway and drown, but you're going to make it to the other side. This is a word for somebody out there. I just want you to know God is going to get you to the other side. It says, while he sent the multitudes away, Jesus never, ever wastes his words. John 12:49, Jesus said this. He says, for I've not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Come to Jesus. So everything he says, everything that God does, man, he's working out a plan and a purpose that he can be exalted and lifted up. And we should celebrate just to be used by him. Look at Matthew 14:23 as this continues on. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, this is so important. So the feeding of the thousands has been done. He has to take care of everything. The cleanup process is taking place. And so he makes his disciples, I need you to get in the boat because they wanted to stay with him. He's like, no, I got to prepare for what's going to happen. I need you to get in the boat, go to the other side, but I got to pray. Look at this. Goes to the mountain by himself to pray. I just wanted, we're going to build on this. You got to get to prayer. You got to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. If you want to have a come to Jesus moment, you got to be able to talk. We're talking relationship. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Here's the point. Dependent on prayer. Yes, dependent on prayer. Prayer shows how dependent we are on God. I hope you're getting this. I want to say that again. Prayer shows how dependent we are on God. So little prayer shows little dependency. More prayer shows more dependency. I hope you got that. That's just the way it is. And you're looking at your life. I'm not condemning you or putting you down, but you got to ask yourself, how much do I pray? You know, and I'm talking about, we're going to look at even time spans. How much am I with the Lord? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 even gives this grand thought pattern. It says, rejoice always, verse 17, pray without ceasing. So God is saying, literally, we're supposed to be connecting with him all the time. There are different types of prayer, but my mind should be on him. But we've got to quantify that. Jesus even challenged his disciples one time in Mark 14:37. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, which we're going to deal with today, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch? Here it is. 1 hour. Can you put in the chat somebody real tight? Put 1 hour, 1 hour. Wherever you're standing, sitting, just say 1 hour, 1 hour. I know you're like, 1 hour. I got other stuff to do. But think about how much we eat, how much time that actually encapsulates through our day. Looking at a movie, some of us have our series on, and most of those series are at least an hour. A movie now, sometimes they're 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I think this is a general sense, but God is saying that time in prayer is important. Time in prayer is important. Mark 14:38, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is kind of our workout. Come to Jesus as we're connecting with him. Some of you exercise, and you know, I mean, I think all of us in our mind, we're like, if we could just exercise for 1 minute or 2 minutes, that'd be great. But what we understand, it takes a lengthier time many times to stretch out our bodies, to get our cardiovascular fit. And it's the same way with our spiritual man. We have to be dependent on prayer, talking to the Lord in these come to Jesus moments. Look at this next part, Matthew 14:24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Here's one word. I want you to get this one. Stress. Go ahead and type it, please, in the chat. Wherever you stand and say, just say stress. You got to hear that, because all of us have experienced stress. The night that the disciples are going through this, the wind becomes difficult and contrary. They're about 3 or 4 miles out into the lake. We find this from John 6:19. And so they're about midway in the lake. They really are thinking this storm is hitting. They can't just swim quickly to the side, to the banks, but they're caught. Remember, don't forget the scriptures we've already gone through. Jesus made them get in the boat and said, go to the other side. Don't go to the middle and sink. And so now stress is hitting them. How many of you have been in some stressful situations? I'm telling you, we've got to realize that in the midst of our stress, God is there. He has not left us. We must learn to come to Jesus quickly, not run away from him, but give it all to the Lord. Have you ever considered that God, again, put them in this exact position? He orchestrated this so that they could learn. Have you thought about where you are right now? God allowed it to happen, allowed you to be right where you need to be so you can learn. You don't like it. You're feeling the stress. You're feeling the struggle, but know that God is a faithful God. Philippians 4:6 even encourages us. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Here it is again, by prayer. Can you put in the chat, pray, wherever you're saying, say pray. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I tell you, that's good news. I understand some of you are saying this is a direct attack of the devil. I sense demons all around me, but I want you to know that even when demonic pressure and stress is put upon you, that does not diminish the power of God. I tell you, that's a word for somebody. Never forget, God is always in charge. Even in the worst situations, God never loses his power. Remember what God told the devil. Remember in the case of Job and Job 1:8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job. Yes, there are some times. We don't like to think about this, but there are some times that God says, you know what? I've trained them and I'm putting them in the battle now. They are Marines and they're going to go in first. And this is one with Job. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? This is the interaction, the test that Satan is coming for. Job 1:10, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and possessions have increased in the land. He said, you got a hedge around him. And please, if it had not been for God on our side, there's so much stuff in our life that God has just hedged us in, that the enemy can't get to us. But look at Job 1:11. But now, the enemy says, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The enemy understands, the devil understands, God is all powerful. Look at Job 1:12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person. Yes, God does this. God says, I'm going to give you a little leeway, Satan. Go ahead, give him your best shot, but just don't touch him. We find out later on, he said, just don't take his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. We must learn to come to Jesus in sickness. We got to learn to come to Jesus in our stress. We've got to learn to come to Jesus in the midst of our storms, because he is faithful. Look at Matthew 14:25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. I hope you got that picture. Here's the point. He's there. Yes, he's there. I just want you to speak this out. Those that are in the chat, I need you to just type it out. Put he is there. He is there. Wherever you're sitting, standing, I need you to say it. He is there. He is there. He is with you in your situation, even though it doesn't feel like he's there, even though you can't see him, even though it's dark, even though he's given you a mandate and it seems like he's left you all by yourself. He is there. That Jesus comes out to meet them in the midst of the storm, that the time frame is about 3 o'clock to 6 a.m. in the morning during that fourth watch. They've been struggling. They think they're going to die, but Jesus has not left them alone. Psalm 35, I love this. It says, for his anger is but for a moment, his favors for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The issue is you don't know when that joy is going to come. You don't know when God is going to show up and show out. He's already there. You just can't sense him right now, but you just don't know when he's going to pull back the big reveal and say, I've been here all along. And so we've got to have that come to Jesus moment. Look at Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Wouldn't you be troubled, saying, it is a ghost? And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Here's the point. You got it. Don't be afraid. Yes, don't be afraid. Now, we've used this scripture on last Sunday. Also, it keeps coming to my heart, this 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So as we come to Jesus, that revelation that, okay, if I'm in the presence of God, then I don't have to fear. Right? Because God overcomes fear. God is everything. God has already worked this out. So I've got to trust him. That's being dependent on God. And I encourage you, wherever you are right now, you can't really fix it within yourself, but there's a God that's already there. He wants you to have a come to Jesus moment. Look at this Matthew 14:28. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now, the tension in the text is the fact that they're in the storm. They're already troubled. They're already stressed out. They're in the middle of the sea trying to figure out what's going on. And then as the storm is going on, Jesus is walking and they have a mistaken identity. They think he's a ghost. They don't. So the one that is the peace giver, The one that's the Prince of Peace is coming, but they don't know who he is. Look at this. They were troubled, saying it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. I believe that sometimes we're crying out and we don't understand. God is right there. He said, come on, jump into my arms. But because of our stress, because of our trouble, because of the storm that's going on, and we're freaking out, we're missing out on the fact that Father God is standing right in front of us and saying, I'm here. Just jump into my arms. Hebrews 13:12 says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertain angels. God can show up in different ways. We just got to be able to open up our spiritual eyes and say, God, I see you. The disciples made the mistake of thinking that he was a ghost instead of their deliverer. Man, I'm telling you, I believe that some of you right now are making a mistake and you're seeing a situation in the wrong way. And God is saying, I am right here. This is a word for somebody out there. Just calm down and just wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart. God put this on my heart. He said, Jesus is coming to you for you. I hope you got that. Jesus is coming to you for you. The situation was not happenstance. It just didn't happen, take place, but it was a setup. Wherever you are right now, it is a setup, and God is saying, I am with you. I love this part, Matthew 14:27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. The storm is still raging. Yes, everything is going on. That he's still walking on the water. He said, "Hold up! You're afraid. You're freaking out. You're losing it. But be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." There's some of you need to know the Lord is with you. He's walking on the sea right now, and he says, "You know, instead of being afraid, instead of losing it, you need to be happy. You need to have joy, exceeding joy, and full of glory." Look at Matthew 14:28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Here's the point. Try Jesus. Yes, try Jesus. Old saints, you say, try Jesus. He's all right. I love this. This part of the story that's only really recounted right in Matthew really builds on a thought, because this is not an unreasonable request after you've seen the feeding of thousands with just a few fishes and loaves of bread. It's not outside of your mindset, because you already know God can. If God can do that, then certainly he can do this. And I'm speaking to somebody. Has God not already given you miracles? Has God not already shown you signs and wonders? Has he not already done amazing things in your life? If he could do it in the past, can he do it again? Did he wake you up this morning and start you on your way? I tell you, some of you getting it. Are you able to breathe right now? Are you able to focus in here? Hear me right now. If he did it in the past, he can do it again. And so now Peter says, hey, Lord, if it's you, command me. Look at that the Matthew 14:28. He says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You see, it's all falling in place. We're talking about dependency on God. He made them get in the boat. He said, go to the other side. He allowed the storm to occur in the middle of the sea. Jesus walks out on the water, and they realize he's not a ghost. This is Jesus. And now Peter says, man, I'm all in. I'm going to be dependent on you. Lord, since you told us to get in the boat, can you tell me to get out of the boat and walk to you? I love this. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, can you put in the chat, everyone, wherever you're sitting, saying, say, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Peter is walking in a spiritual truth right now. He is putting aside his fear, and he's stepping out and says, God, I want to be dependent on me. He says, command me to walk out on the water. We got to try Jesus. Look at Matthew 14:30. But I'm working. I know in the chat, can you put but wherever you stand, sentence just say, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Here's the point. Life comes at you fast. Any witness out there? Life comes at you fast. Now, many years ago, 2004, Nationwide came out with this slogan, when life comes at you fast. And basically, they were telling us that life can change at a moment's notice. And they were encouraging us to get insurance with Nationwide. Wonderful commercials that came out to celebrate this thought, life comes at you fast. And as we find out here and look at Matthew 14:30, we have a confession of faith. Lord, tell me to come on out and I'm going to walk out to you. I can see him. You got the picture. You've seen some of the stories that have been portrayed. He's walking on the water. Jesus is there. I can see him. I had my hands out like I was walking on a tight rope, but still just in amazement. But it says in Matthew 14:30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, what happened? He's looking at Jesus. Jesus said, come. So he's focused in on Jesus. But the wind is still getting crazy and it's all around him. It says when he saw the wind, that means when he kind of looked around and his focus got mismatched. It should have been stayed on Jesus because he was the one that was empowering him to walk. We're talking about that come to Jesus moment. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. This is good. Even when you lose it, I'm telling you, even when you lose it, learn how to cry out. This is a prayer. Lord, save me. I know I should have been holding on to my faith, but right now I faltered. Lord, can you save me? Never forget the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Aren't you glad that God, even when we mess up, even when we lose it, even when we allow the enemy to get in our head, God has said, just cry out to me. I'm always there for you. Jesus is bigger than our circumstances. Our author Terry Pratchett, he wrote this saying, and when life comes to you fast, you can identify with this. It says, this isn't life in the fast lane, it's life in the oncoming traffic. You ever felt like that? You're like, you're out there and all of a sudden life comes at you and it's coming down your path. It's a head-on collision, but I want you to know our God is faithful. Come to Jesus. Look at Matthew 14:31. I want us to jump into this. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Oh, what a day. You ever been caught by Jesus? You ever been in a situation like this? I'm going down for the last count. It's over. It's done. I can't get out of this one. But Jesus at the right moment and the right time reaches out and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, gives him a rebuke. Why did you doubt? 32nd verse. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Oh my goodness. I am telling you, it catches Peter. The disciples are looking on. They got an audience that's going on. And then he says, why did you doubt? And when they both got up into the boat, they stood up in the boat, all of a sudden the wind ceased. What that was saying was God was in charge all along. Even though the enemy brings crazy stuff in our lives, as long as Jesus is in the boat, there ought to be some folks. As long as we got to come to Jesus moment, everything's going to work out just fine. This is the point I want you to get out of this. Your issue is not the storm. I hope you got that. Your issue is not, can you say this? My issue is not the storm. So often we get caught up in our circumstance and we see the wind and the waves and it's just out of control and we're like, ah, but our issue is not the storm. The Lord said this to me. He says, your issue is staying dependent on him. Yeah, your issue is staying dependent on God. It's not the storm. It's not the storm. You got to realize that life is a storm. Any witness, any amens out there? Just living from day to day, getting old, living in this life is a storm, and oncoming traffic comes in the midst of the storms. And God said, I already know what you're going to go through. You just got to trust me. Look at Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So my issue is not the storm. My issue is staying dependent on God, having a come to Jesus moment to know that all things are possible despite what I see with my eyes. 1 John 4:4 reiterates this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Isn't that good? That come to Jesus moment. Some of you have identified with that a particular poem that was called Footsteps. And so I'll just go through it in a summarizing. It was about this man, and he was the picture was he was walking with Jesus. He was walking with Jesus, and the footsteps in the sand was he could see both footsteps, Jesus beside him and his footsteps. And he says, God, what I don't understand, though, there was some times in my life as I looked at the sand, I only saw one set of footsteps. And he says, I don't understand, Lord. I know that you're always with me. You never leave me nor forsake me. But why did you let me walk along in those tough times of life? And the poem goes on that Jesus spoke to the man and said, when you only saw one set of footsteps, I was actually carrying you. Isn't that a come to Jesus moment? Some of you need to realize right now, it's not by your might nor by your power, but it's by the Spirit of God. He's actually carrying you through your situation right now. I dare you to give him some praise. Let me get this final section of the day. Matthew 14:33. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Final point, total dependency. Yes, total dependency. Now this is good. We must come to the point of realizing and accepting that God is God alone. We are not God. We are not God. We worship him. He has made us his children, but we are not God. God is God and God alone. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Look at this, Matthew 14:33 again. Then those who were in the boat, they came and they worshiped him. They fell down. They was like, okay, all right, we were witnessing the miracles and signs of one, the feeding of the thousands. We were right there. We saw that. We saw Peter go out and walk on water. God, you're walking on water, and then you get into the boat and the storm ceases. He says, we know that you are God. Look, truly you are the Son of God. Have we had a come to Jesus moment where we know that he is God and God alone? Until you got a testimony, until you have called on Jesus and said, you know what, I am a sinner and I need to be saved, and you had that come to Jesus moment, you will never realize how sweet it is to know the one that came from Galilee. He realized that we had some struggles in our life. He realized that we couldn't do it ourselves. But I'm so glad for a God that would walk among men. He would heal the sick and raise the dead. But what gets me is God has accepted us in his family. The other Sunday, one of the members came to me and they began to talk to me. And they said this. They concised it in a text message. They said, Pastor, I want you to, I got a revelation as you were teaching on that. He said that being in God's family is kind of like with me keeping my kids on my taxes. And he says, I have my kids on my taxes and they're dependent on me and they're seen as dependents. He said, I get a tax break, but they are a part of me. He said, isn't that kind of the way it is when it comes to God, that he's our father and we're on his tax form now? Now God doesn't have to pay taxes, but I understood what he was going and what he was saying. He said, we are part of the family and God is taking care of us. And we need to realize that in our situations, because he is our father, he will never leave us nor forsake us. There ought to be some witness in the house today. I'm so happy for a God that's always with us, that a God that allows us to have those come to Jesus moments. And that same Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for us, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with his stripes we are healed. I'm talking about come to Jesus. But on that cross, some miracles took place. I'm telling you, he cried out that Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm telling you, a come to Jesus moment. But there was a thief on the outside of him that started out reviling him. But he said, this guy is different than us. This guy, it has something more than we, that I can understand. In Luke 23:40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. But look at Luke 23:42. It said, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm talking about a come to Jesus moment. Well, you realize the man that I was talking about is the man that can deliver me. The man that's hanging on that cross, he's the one that has all power in his hand. But some of you need to shout for Luke 23:43. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, that's a come to Jesus moment. Do you know on that cross of Calvary, the sun refused to shine? It said the veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. And after seeing all of this, there was a soldier that was at the cross, and he was making sure everything was in place, and it troubled him in Matthew 27:54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I'm talking about a come to Jesus moment. But I'm so glad that God allowed his Son to die for you and me, was put in a cold grave, but 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. And I'm so glad that even now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you and me, that we have that come to Jesus moment, that realization that God is God and God alone. Saints, we can trust him. We can be totally dependent on our God, because he's faithful. Saints, these are troubling times. We've got families that are going through bereavement times at Ebenezer. We've got political unrest and trying to figure out our choices in our society. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got heat waves and floods in various areas, hurricanes, storms. But in the midst of all of these troubles, we need to have a come to Jesus moment to know that God is faithful. The scriptures already told us that times would come that would be just like this. He told us that there are going to be some struggles, but he said, I will be with you. Saints, let's continually have those come to Jesus moments. For those that don't know Christ, what about today? You tried everything else. I encourage you to try Jesus. Yes, he truly is all right. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? As we always say, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. That's what the scriptures say. It says, by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Reach out and grab it. Jesus is the only one that can save you. Admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Man, he'll take you into the family. He'll put you on his tax forms as his dependent. And I'm telling you, he's going to be there for you all the time. For the saints, I want to encourage you. Some of you are going through some tests of faith right now. But trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Sometimes you're going to have to close your eyes. Say, God, help me to see spiritually what's going on. And say, God, I want to jump into your arms. Help me through this situation. And I dare you to praise him in the midst of your storm. Remember that scripture we talked about earlier. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's go ahead and praise him before we can even see our joy, because we know that God is faithful. Ah, it is good to be saved. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this portion of scripture. Thank you for letting us see this. Peter's faith, but you being faithful even in faithlessness. Lord, help us to be more dependent on you. We realize even that request, we're going to have to go through some times and recognize that you are a God of power and of love. Lord, thank you for meeting us where we are. We just praise you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus said, here I stand. Won't you please let me in? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am he who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow.
I gave my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. I promised you tomorrow that I choose the Lord today for tomorrow.
Very well might be too late.
Yes.
Jesus said,
here I stand. Won't you please take my hand? And you said, I will
tomorrow.
Jesus said, supplies all your needs, and you said, I know, but tomorrow,
I give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but so much easier. Tomorrow is not promised. Better choose the Lord
today for tomorrow.
Very well might be too late.
Forget about tomorrow. Won't you give your life today? Oh, please, don't just turn and walk away.
Sing! Tomorrow is not promised. Don't let this moment slip away.
As many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. So this is a spiritual baptism that's going to be shown in a physical way. So as we go through this baptism today, we're going to think about Christ being crucified. We're going to think about him dying, and they put him in a cold grave. They put him in that grave, but he doesn't stay there. 3 days later, he gets up. So the symbol will be Ryan will come into the water. We'll ask her some questions. She'll give her testimony in those questions. And then we will sing a song and we will take her down into the water. The great thing about today, I don't have to hold her down 3 days. Jesus has already done the work for us. So it's a symbol. So we take her under the water and we bring her back up. And that represents the change that's taking place on the inside of her through Jesus. I tell you, that is good, good news. Amen. Sister Ryan, it's your birthday. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Are you willing to follow him the rest of your life?
Yes.
Sister Ryan, on profession of your faith and your testimony in Jesus Christ, it gives me great pleasure to now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah.